Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Derek Bruff, an assistant director here at the Center for Teaching. In this episode, we feature excerpts from an interview with Stephen Buckles, senior lecturer in economics here at Vanderbilt. In this interview, Steve describes his use of a classroom response system in his large undergraduate economics course. This system allows Steve to pose multiple choice questions to his students during class, and his students to submit their answers to these questions using small handheld devices called clickers. The system then displays on an overhead screen a bar chart showing the distribution of student responses. Steve uses this system to engage his students actively during class.
I use the remotes to ask questions, run experiments, to withdraw data, and derive relationships from classes. The more traditional use is asking questions, and I'm pretty traditional in that fashion, using them to begin the class, to see if students have understood the reading material, kind of where they are. I use them in the middle of class, normally two or three times, and then sometimes towards the end of class to see if I've been effective, if I've done my job. But mostly I use the remotes to stimulate thought and discussion more than anything else. And I will average probably three questions per class in an effort to stimulate discussions. And I'll come back and talk a little bit about the experiments and deriving data, which is kind of fun to do. My purpose in using the remotes is it's difficult to get student interaction, get student involvement in a large lecture class. I find it very difficult to hold students' truly active attention for 50 minutes. I don't think I can get them actively involved. Most of the class actively involved in discussion most days. If I'm really good, maybe I could get people discussing an economics issue among themselves once during a class. But the use of remotes to me allows me to two or three times during a class to truly have the entire class talking with one another about an economic issue. And I've had TAs sit around the class, walk around the class, I've done it myself, and the vast majority are talking about economic issues. And they're excited about it, they're debating, they're thinking. And the evidence in, at least in economics, is students learn economics better if they're actively involved. And this gets them actively involved. Something that I really can't do very well on my own in a simple lecture environment. So I will ask questions, post the results in the traditional way with a clicker or with a remote, and sometimes we'll talk briefly about the answer. Sometimes I will ask it again after talking a little bit about the question. The most valuable tool, I think, is asking them to talk about it among themselves, and then to ask them to make a choice again. And I will sometimes do that as many as two follow-up questions, a total of three times. I don't think it's productive to go beyond that, and I sometimes just do it a second time. But I think that's when I get my excitement anyway, if I see this entire class talking about economic issues. I do run some experiments and demonstrate, derive some data. We derive demand and supply curves based on their data, really in an effort to make the examples real and relevant. I run some experiments. Just yesterday we're talking about budget deficits and taxes and paying for government expenditures, and I asked a question of how many people thought that we should stay in Iraq until the end of next year. and got the percentages. And exact percentages weren't really important to me. Then I asked the same question, but with a number attached to it, that we raise taxes in order to pay for part of that stay in Iraq, and asked the question again. And then I did a third time with a figure that represented the entire cost of the war. And I found that, and they saw what happened once we recognized that there is a cost and people have to pay taxes, that those answers were quite different. And they fell in terms of what we'd expect in economics from a majority saying we should stay in Iraq for till the end of next year, at least until the end of next year, with a very slim, very small number saying we should stay there if they were actually asked to pay the full cost. So I think there it's not really getting them actively involved in discussion, but it certainly is getting them actively involved in showing them where some economic principles come from. That that leads me to another real advantage and a characteristic of using remotes. I know some people use remotes in relatively small classes, and I'm not so sure that that I would be able to get as much value out of their use in small classes as I can a large class. Many students are reluctant to raise their hand in a large class and to actually be asking a question or responding to a question. But by using a remote system or having students hold up a sign with ABCD on it, I can ask every single student in the class a question and have them answer it several times during an hour. And I can't do that in a big class. I can in a small class. I can ask and call on students, but I can't actually do that in a large class. But with this technology, I certainly can. My primary use is to stimulate thought and discussion, and not really an evaluation of what they know at any one time from the reading or from the lecture. But that certainly is an advantage. You can see whether, if you write good questions, you can see whether you've been as good as you think you are. And presumably we all go in prepared in a way that we think we're crystal clear. But at least for me, and maybe a few others, we're not always as clear as we can be. But it's great that way. Absolutely. It's much better to find out in the middle of a class that they don't understand a concept than to wait till the exam and find out they don't understand the concept. How do I know that the remotes actually help me or help students learn better? It actually helps the active learning is productive. And I haven't set up a control group and tested the effectiveness. I've read a good bit of what Eric Measure does. I have a great deal of evidence that the students say they're learning from it, and they're very positive about the learning effects. In fact, students in general they like the technology. They find it exciting and worthwhile. I don't think I've ever done anything in class where I've asked them to evaluate it where they've been more positive. I'll have a handful of people say they don't like it, but out of a class of 300, having a handful say they don't like something is overwhelming. And they say I think that they do know in many cases whether it's helpful or not, and they certainly say that it is. They don't like the cost. The remotes are expensive, and that is a negative. And they don't like technology failure. And are very critical when the technology is not working. But they certainly believe it helps them learn, and it creates for me a much more interesting kind of class environment. Tim McNamara, the provost, who's a faculty member in psychology, once said, and it got my attention, and I now fully agree with it, and he said that he would never teach a large class again without using remotes. And I would make the same statement. I will never teach Economics 100 and 101 without having some similar kind of technology available. It changes the entire dynamic. The challenges of using, the biggest challenge is the preparation of questions. That's by far the most costly for faculty members to do. The questions have to be thought out pretty well. They can't be too easy. They can't be too difficult. A number of people who have been involved in the use of remote technology for some time talk about the best is a 50% correct. And I don't know that that's exactly right, but it certainly doesn't. If 80% get it right, there's no discussion. There's some value in having thought through the question, but you certainly can't discuss it very much. And if random or less than random get it correct, then it's difficult to generate any kind of discussion. And in fact, if you do try to discuss a question where a very low number have gotten it correct, then you oftentimes move in the wrong direction. And sometimes that's productive, but oftentimes it is not productive because simply people begin to guess. But the biggest challenge is writing the questions and learning what works and what doesn't. Certainly, factual questions that don't require much thought, I don't think have much payoff in terms of using the technology. Another challenge is simply getting used to the technology itself, because it is something else that's going on in the classroom. It's something you've got to turn on and turn off, and you've got to show up on a board of some kind. You've got to explain the technology to students, and that can take class time, and that's something to expect. One who uses this technology is going to spend some time getting used to the new technology. In terms of getting started in using the technology, the biggest cost is writing questions, and that's where I would start. Is before you even think about before a faculty member thinks about actually using it, write some questions and experiment with the measure with the method. Eric Mazura started not using a very sophisticated technology, but asking questions and having students hold up signs, A, B, C, or D. You can actually ask multiple choice questions, as we all have done, and have students hold up their hands. The problem there is they look around and see what other people are doing. They're unwilling to take as many risks, and I don't know that as much thought goes in. But certainly, and there's a bit of cost in getting students to have signs where they'd hold up A, B, C, or D in front of them, and so you can see how many are choosing each option. That can be done, and it's not quite as attractive to students, and it doesn't flash the results quite in a such a usable fashion. But it certainly starts to give you some feedback on what questions work and don't. And I would encourage anyone who's thinking about the technology to try some questions before the physical technology's in the classroom and see if you think it's productive and that you can begin to learn about what questions work and what questions don't, and also to see how much time it takes. It does take time out of the classroom. I can't lecture as much. However, I'm absolutely convinced, without a whole lot of scientific evidence, I'm absolutely convinced they're going to learn more in that time than they'll learn listening to me. And that's what that's why I'm there. But that's, I would encourage a faculty member to start by trying questions just by having students hold up their hands. As a final note, I would simply encourage people to take a look, because it changes the classroom dynamics from a large lecture of a a chalk and talk kind of environment of where I'm talking to the class and drawing a few things on the board and they're sitting there and taking notes, to one that's much more like a small class. I like to view it as taking my classes of between 200 and 300 and making them equal to a class of 20 or 30, in that I can really interact and get students actively involved in learning. That's why I'm using the technology.
That was Stephen Buckles, senior lecturer in economics, describing his use of clickers to engage students in his large undergraduate economics courses. See the show notes for this podcast for links to a Center for Teaching guide to teaching with clickers, featuring logistical information on using clickers at Vanderbilt, as well as advice on using them effectively to engage and assess students. You'll also find a link to the homepage of Eric Mazur, the Harvard University physics professor whom Steve referenced in his interview. You can view the show notes, as well as leave comments or questions about this episode, by visiting blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast. If you've used clickers in your teaching or have ideas for doing so, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant to discuss ways to use clickers effectively in their teaching. Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. Please join us for future episodes by visiting the podcast's homepage, blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast, or by subscribing to the podcast through iTunes or a similar program. I've been your host, Derek Bruff.